As Mayak mentioned, I'm going to speak about preferential flow, kind of ties in the last talk, just showing preferential flow on hill slopes. But this is dealing with ephemeral gully erosion, something that soil physicists, we haven't dealt a lot with erosion, but we do have quite a history of doing work on preferential flow, and that was a natural tie-in for me studying erosion. I think many of us are aware when you look at National Stream Surveys that the number one problem that keeps cropping up from an impairment standpoint keeps being sediment. And there are a lot of research that shows that one of the primary sources of that sediment can be the banks adjacent to the streams, but as well as ephemeral gullies. We've got a watershed that we've shown that looks like about 40% of the sediment load is coming from gully sources. And that fits in pretty well with the national estimates. USDA estimates that it's anywhere around 35% in our country. Other countries have estimated it's fairly higher than that. I think Polson showed that it's around 44%, but could be up to 94% of the sediment is coming from gully erosion. And particularly in Europe, European countries, it's well established that pipe flow and pipe erosion is a common feature in gully erosion. That's been less well understood or I guess accepted in our country. Typically, we associate gully erosion with concentrated flow, that's surface runoff. But being a soil physicist, my interest is in the subsurface flow processes. There are two processes that really contribute from subsurface flow standpoint. And one is seepage erosion, just being shown in a video here, which I'm going to speak about in the symposium in S6 on Wednesday. The other is preferential flow through soil pipes. Oftentimes at the head of gullies, we see these very large pipes. And the question is, what is the role of this seepage erosion as well as the role of soil pipe flow on the establishment of gullies and just soil erosion in general? Traditionally, subsurface flow has only been viewed as important to the effect that it has on the soil geotechnical properties. In particular, you look at, there's been equations established for relating soil water tension to the soil shear strength. But I think, you know, we've seen this video and you'll see in this research a little bit more that subsurface flow has a direct impact. Oh, I'm supposed to move on. I guess I hit the arrow key. Direct impact on the soil erosion. From a seepage erosion standpoint, I've been conducting work with Dr. Gary Fox, who's now at Oklahoma State University, and we've done quite a bit of work on the seepage erosion. There's been a good bit of work on that, where seepage erosion we're defining as the seepage flow entrained soil particles and undercuts a bank. As you can see here, undercuts a bank, leaves the bank unstable, and then the bank collapses. And we've even made advancements as to how to model those systems. One approach, you can use codes that are, you know, from GeoSlope that are commercially available, such as SEEP, which just uses a very simple Richards 2D equation to be able to predict the soil water pressure distribution. The problem with this approach is that you've got to account for this undercutting with time. And we've established some methods for going about modeling that, in which you have various regions in this conductive layer that you can then take out with time from the flow domain. So you have to have a flow domain that's dynamic. But once we establish those procedures, then you can take these simulations, input the soil water pressures into a slope stability model with the GeoSlope codes. The two are integrated, you know, perfectly integrated. Predictions from SEEP go directly into slope W, and there they calculate the bank stability, and you get a factor of safety. Any factor of safety value less than one says that the bank is going to be unstable. We've traditionally at the National Sedimentation Lab have used our own model. It's the bank stability and toe erosion model. It's very similar to the slope model, but it was a static model in which you need to input a set water table, or you can input your own pressure potentials. You've got various layers, and it will interpolate across this shear plane based upon the input of the values. Where we've gone now is that we are integrating the BSTEM model with the Richard flow codes to where the user can use any flow code that they want to then you put in your geometry for your bank, run your flow code, it'll take that distribution into the BSTEM model and calculate a factor of safety. So we've made a lot of progress from a seepage erosion standpoint. But where we're moving into now is from a soil pipe flow, subsurface flow through a soil pipe and how it impacts gully erosion. As I mentioned, in Europe, it's well established and accepted that flow through soil pipes and piping is really a significant contributor to gully erosion. What takes place is this preferential flow is going on very rapidly through the subsurface, and oftentimes it's associated with, if I can get the arrow pointing, with where you've got what they often call duplex soils, or where you've got a water restricting layer, perches water, oftentimes the roots also played out on top of that restrictive layer, and so you've got a root channel for the flow to follow. Takes place very rapidly, it erodes the pore until eventually the soil, the pore gets, the pipe gets large enough that the soil can no longer hold up the soil above and the overburden, and it collapses, and all of a sudden you get a very rapid development of a very mature gully. And so then you get this very rapid development of a gully. But by definition, a femoral gully is one in which it's filled back in by tillage, and that leaves the soil with this, what was a pore pipe open, is now it's discontinuous. So we wanted to study what the role of these discontinuous pores. You've got an ephemeral gully in the landscape. We've actually have some locations where we've measured flow from pipes into gullies in the field. But we wanted to be able to establish more mechanistic relationships that would enable us to model these types of systems. So we began a series of laboratory scale studies. I'll show you the first ones will be on discontinuous pores, simulate a soil pipe that was there in place, and then the gully gets filled back in by tillage and the pipe is now cut off. We have about 30 centimeters in these conditions, 30 centimeters of silt loam material. These are lust soils, simulating a water restrictive layer. And so you've got a soil pipe that goes 50 centimeters into this 150 centimeter long soil bed, and it sits right on the top of the water restrictive layer, in this case a clay loam material. We run these simulations, putting the water onto the pipe under a constant head. We do this under 15 centimeters and then also under 30 centimeters. We also have the capabilities for rainfall, simulating rainfall with the rainfall simulator. And then we use the combination of these as well. I'm going to show you just a little bit of the results and then also talk about the approaches we're taking for modeling. This is just showing you a simulation for one of those tests. And what we find is that when we have rainfall alone, we get some very high sheet erosion, but we don't get any mass wasting. When you combine that with pipe flow, this is what you typically see. Pipe flow alone didn't cause these types of sudden mass failures, but when you combine the loss in soil shear strength due to the infiltration of rainfall combined with the pipe flow, this is what you typically see is these very sudden pop-out failures. And these would continue, they continue popping out as the gully moves on back. So just to give you a little bit of overall results, pipe flow alone didn't result in mass failures, or did very, very rarely result in mass failures. Rainfall alone, also we didn't see any mass wasting, but it's when you get the combination. And so it's obvious that pipe flow is working synergistically with rainfall, so it appears to be the combination of loss of soil strength as well as these pressure builds up within the system that is causing the mass flow. And the question comes in, and I guess I should say, when this takes place, the gully erosion can be anywhere from 4 to 18 times what the sheet erosion is, which we've spent so much time and effort trying to study and characterize traditionally in soil science. So the question is, how do we model these types of systems? here we are in the process right now of modeling these with a Richards Bass equation in which we treat this soil pipe as a void and which the, then has a boundary condition on it of a constant head boundary condition, and then take the output from this simulation directly into that B-stem model, which I told you that we have modified the B-stem model to where it can take output from any code, any simulation, throw that into the geotechnical codes to be able to look at whether or not the system is going to be stable. One of the things that we oftentimes find, though, is that the systems work under a hydrologic non-equilibrium. We get seepage prior to the time in which we actually see the wetting front reaching the face. And the question is going to be, well, we're going to see that in the simulations. We're just now working on those simulations at this time. The other set of experiments that we are already underway in conducting is ones in which we've got a continuous soil pipe that goes all the way through till it's exposed on the surface or till it's exposed at some point on a bank or on a ditch bank. And so here we've got a soil pipe that goes all the way through the system. Problem with that is establishing a constant head. So we determine what the flow rates would be at a constant head on a 1 centimeter pipe, and then we establish a steady state flow on that pipe. And we do this with, again, with pipe flow alone under the two heads, or pipe flow working synergistically with rainfall, simultaneously with rainfall. And I'll show you just a quick simulation here. One of the things that we find is, you know, the soil pipe, once you establish flow through it, it begins to erode internally. We do get some mass wasting at the gully face, but what we were surprised in finding, or should have been if you read the literature, is that this internal erosion takes place and clogs the pores, and you get this pipe flow takes place in surges in which you get very low flow, then a very high flow with a high sediment concentration. Okay, you can see that in the video very easily, but you also see that as we're monitoring the flow rates, you can see these surges, and then you've got some internal dam that slows the flow rate. We could show that also with the sediment concentrations, which I'm not showing here. But what's interesting is that we don't see that with our tensiometers. Maybe the problem with the time frame in which we're integrating the measurements, but it also may be in that just the resistance of the ceramic cups is too high, and we need more higher flow tensiometers to be able to pick up these types of pressure changes. So we're able to see these pipe flow surges, but we're not seeing this pressure fluctuations within the soil pipes. And also, it should say that it's been reported that you get these internal erosion until the pipe collapses. We didn't see pipe collapses. But again, we see sediment concentrations that were fairly similar to what we observed in the field. But then with occasions, we get these very high sediment concentrations as the pipe surges. We do get, when you combine it with rainfall, this mass wasting. And the question is how to model that system, and that's where we are just now moving in. Be glad to talk to anyone who's smarter than me who knows how we could do that. One of the approaches that we're looking at is we've developed an excess shear stress equation for the seepage erosion. And the question is, can we apply the same type of approach to the internal erosion to predict how this pipe is going to enlarge with time? But again, what we're needing is a flow domain that's dynamic and a discretization seam in that flow domain that's also dynamic as this pipe erodes. So I'll just give you just the conclusions. Right now, our preliminary findings on the continuous soil pipes is that we're not seeing this tunnel collapse. We think in a more dispersive soils that surely takes place, just not in the few conditions that we've tested. We do see discontinuous pipes, though, give us a very quick reestablishment of gullies that have been filled in by tillage, and it takes place by these pop-out, sudden cataclysmic pop-out type failures. And that does explain why ephemeral gullies keep reforming in the same place year after year, no matter what practices they put on the surface to try to control them. And the strategies for modeling this type of system of erosion is what we're really just starting on. We've made a lot of progress on the seepage erosion from a bank failure standpoint, but there's a lot to be done. We need more soil physicists working in this area. And so if anyone's interested, I'd be glad to talk with them afterwards about how we could go about that. With that, I'll end with a picture of Katrina. This is the Mississippi coast.